Hello, I'm Attentive Grandpa, and welcome back to the Mighty Air Caves podcast featuring Simon's Tale, read by Daniel Bold. This week we have Chapter 3, Aria. For more from the archives, including illustrations and video, visit our website at www.themightyarchives.com. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoy it. Simon and Aria parted ways with the other two lionesses at the edge of the village. Before leaving, Jasmine gave Aria a dramatically friendly hug and stiffly bowed to Simon. Aria glared at her, but the other lioness just smiled slyly and led Reba away between the untidy rows of short grass huts. "Sorry about her," Aria said softly, as they continued on their way south. "That's all right," Simon mumbled. As soon as Jasmine and Reba were out of sight, he forgot all about them. His attention became fixed on the ground a foot in front of him and the occasional glance of Aria. They ambled along the savanna in silence, walking in the new style, on two legs, and avoiding the village. Simon noticed that his paws were sweating. He couldn't remember that ever happening before. After a while, they passed by his home, and Simon was able to see through his bedroom window into the front of the house. His parents were sitting down to dinner. He slowed down and nervously ruffed his mane. "What's the matter?" Aria asked, looking up at him. Her eyes were a pale green and managed to shine even in the dim light. Simon stared down at her for a second, then stepped back and tried to swallow. His mouth was exceedingly dry.
I live here," he said.
He pointed to his right at the small shack. Aria peered around him through the window.
"Is that your mother?"
she asked. Simon nodded.
"No one talks about her that much. She's pretty."
Simon frowned.
"What do you mean no one talks about her?"
He imagined the lioness Jasmine talking about his mother, and it made his ears go cold.
"Oh," Aria said and scratched her cheek. She shifted in place, unable to meet his gaze. "Well, you know, there's the famous Rahas, and there's..."
Her voice trailed off. She gestured meekly to Simon with her paws open.
"There's you," she shrugged. "It just seems like no one talks about Laza that much."
Simon was momentarily speechless. The idea of other lions talking about his family caught him completely by surprise. He quickly supposed that, yes, his father could rightly be considered famous, but Simon himself? Or his mother? His father had devised and helped build the wall. He was also responsible for whatever was behind it, something that every lion seemed to believe in, at least all those who had seen it. But what had Simon ever done?
"Sorry," Aria said, cutting into Simon's jumbled thoughts. "Did you need to go home?"
He took a deep breath and looked back through his window. It had been a long day, and the idea of dinner was compelling, but Simon had absolutely no interest in going home. The short lioness smiled up at him quickly before looking back to the ground. She traced a rough circle in the dry dirt.
"I should probably go also," she said.
"Well, I'll walk you," Simon blurted out, standing up straight for a second before slouching back down into his normal posture. Aria couldn't help but step back. Being only 15, Simon perhaps wasn't the strongest lion in the tribe, but he was definitely the tallest, and his full height was intimidating.
"Oh, all right," she managed.
"That sounds good," Simon nodded.
"All right."
They continued south without talking, which suited Simon. He felt Aria look up at him every so often, but he kept his own eyes on the path ahead. Was he supposed to say something? Maybe Aria liked silence. He did. Waves of nervous heat swept over him, and he felt a little sick. The shacks and huts to their right continued south for a little ways, but he could see the end of the village in the distance. Simon cleared his throat, and his palms started to sweat again. He rubbed them on his pants.
Where do you live?" he asked.
Aria sighed as if relieved.
On the southern edge?"
She pointed to the direction they were headed.
"It's not that much farther."
She stopped abruptly and turned to Simon. She touched his arm.
"Oh, you don't have to keep going if you don't want to. I mean, if you're tired or need to go home or whatever."
"No, that's not what I meant," Simon said quickly. Aria grinned and let her arm drop. He continued. The spot where she had touched his arm glowed with soft, distracting warmth. He was finding it difficult to think clearly.
I'm good. Let's keep walking."
They walked on together. After a minute, Aria chuckled.
"You know, you're way different than I thought you'd be," she said. Simon blushed. What do you mean? Arya hopped over a long flat stone on the ground, grinning. I don't know, she said. Simon's head started to ring again, and he feared the plank may have caused real damage. He touched the growing bump on his head and was about to press the question when Arya stopped. We're here, she chirped. Simon looked up. They'd stopped in front of a low shack at the very edge of the village. Further on, Simon could sense the southern river, but it wasn't visible. Arya's house stood out among the others. It was average size, but draped with all kinds of strange decorations. Simon smiled. He actually knew the house well, having passed by it countless times on his explorations of the village. He had always wondered who lived there. They walked around to the front. The door was made of wavy white driftwood from the river, and the porch was literally plastered with woven river grass sculptures and shells. A low fence surrounded the front yard, which was filled with strange artifacts that Simon could only assume they'd found on the shore. Oh, I like this house, Simon whispered without realizing he was talking. Really? Arya beamed. My mom's an artist. Well, yeah, he said. I walk by here on one of my routes. Arya smiled. I've seen you, she said, and something in her tone made Simon stand up a little straighter. You like to walk? He stretched his neck. Yeah. So, where does your mom find all this stuff? What are these things, anyway? Simon gestured to the odd-looking objects in the yard. There were a few round black things that looked sort of like wheels, a couple blocky red things whose surfaces seemed to be slowly peeling off, and lots of colorful objects that reminded Simon of gourds, but nothing in the yard really made any sense to his eyes. Arya shrugged and gave a goofy smile. I don't know, she said. She finds it by the river. She's weird. Arya looked up at Simon, apologizing a little with her eyes. He met her gaze, and they both stayed suspended there for a moment. The white door banged open behind them, and Simon instinctively stepped back, looking to his toes, then to the sky. An eccentrically dressed lioness stepped onto the porch and waved. That's my mom, Arya whispered. Simon lifted his paw meekly and waved to the older lioness as Arya edged away. Anyways, thanks for walking me, she said. See you later, Simon. Son of Rahas. And with that, she was gone. Four stone-gray animals stood in front of the wall with their backs to him. He didn't recognize any of them. They didn't belong there. He stepped forward to tell them to leave. He wanted them to leave. But as he did, his vision switched from his own eyes to theirs, and they were looking up. A deep, tangled, howling sound tumbled over the wall, spilling down on them like a deadly avalanche. And just behind it, just behind the howl, came a thick black tentacle like a lizard's tongue. The tip of the huge oily thing rolled over the wall and pounded against the stone like a hammer, sending a dusty mist down over them. It stung their eyes, but they didn't look away. They didn't even blink. Simon sat up in bed, sweating and cold. He wiped his brow and took a huge breath of air. He was soaked. He peeled himself off his mat, up onto his knees, and rolled his eyes. He was tired of those dreams. Using his claws, he tried to comb the sweat out of his fur, slinging the moisture onto the ground with each stroke. So annoying, he grumbled to himself. Outside, a morning bird chirped loudly, and Simon looked out the window. The sun was coming up over the savannah, and Simon tried to bring his mind back to reality, away from that gray, howling dream world. What did he have that day? It came to him in a flash, and instantly the nightmare disappeared. He hopped to his feet and bounded out into the front room. Good morning and goodbye, Simon cheered as he passed by his parents sitting on their mats. His mother raised a wooden bowl filled with the standard morning gruel for him, but Simon snickered and waved it away. Not hungry, he called, and jumped out the door. The day was bright and clear, and Simon had to restrain himself from running as he started on his way towards the center of the village. It was Sunday. Market day, and over the preceding month, Simon had discovered an entirely new appreciation for the event. Before then, he would have avoided the market like a stinky mud pit. Too many lions, too much noise, there was hardly room to breathe. But recent weeks had seen him more and more excited to brave the crowds. He couldn't care less about the meat and bone vendors, or the spear crafters, or the scoundrels selling restorative potions and the like. Simon's interest was reserved for the artists. He slowly wandered down the aisle of booths filled with fabrics, paintings, and small sculptures, taking his time to appreciate everything he saw. He nodded at the tradesfolk behind the counters and offered the occasional, "very nice," or earnest, "hmm," to their general indifference or annoyance. At the far end of the aisle, an eclectically dressed lioness leaned out over her counter and waved. "Is that Simon?" she called out to him. "Good morning, dear." Simon stood up straight and smiled, slightly embarrassed. He pointed at a stuffed gopher on display next to him. "This stuff is great," he called back. The pudgy lion behind the counter groaned. The lioness smiled and waved him forward. "Come here, Simon. Come on." He slouched and quickly nodded to the taxidermist before trotting down the aisle towards Aria's mother's booth. The pudgy lion with the gopher leaned out over his counter and called after him. "If you like it so much, why not get your father to come buy one?" "Okay," Simon called back over his shoulder. "Wow, quite a display today," he cheered to the middle-aged lioness as he arrived at her counter. "These are really nice." He picked up a delicate sculpture of woven grass and bleached sticks and turned it over in his huge paws. "Uh-huh," Aria's mother said, as she quickly reached forward to take the sculpture away from him. She put it gently back on the counter and turned to the rear of the booth. "Aria, look who's here." Simon gave a huge smile as Aria emerged from behind a light curtain, followed by her stern-looking brother, whose name was Malik. "Oh, hi, Simon," she cheered. "What are you doing here?"
"Just passing by," Simon said, shrugging his long arms clumsily and almost elbowing an elderly shopper in the face.
Aria's mother smiled apologetically to the old lion and turned to her cubs. "Malik, can you help your dear old mother while Aria takes a break?" Malik scowled, but nodded slowly, his eyes fixed on Simon.
"Wonderful. Nice to see you again, Simon. Tell your mother I say hello."
"I will,"
Simon called, as Aria pulled him away.
"Thanks, Malik,"
she shouted over the hubbub of the market crowd.
"Your brother doesn't like me," Simon said once they had emerged from the square onto one of the village's narrow side streets.
"Oh, that's not true," Aria chimed. "He just likes me a whole lot more."
"What does he say about me?"
Aria looked up at him with a comically puzzled expression.
"You're really going to start caring what other lions say about you now?"
She took his paw and gave it a gentle squeeze. Simon then expected her to let go, but she didn't.
"So,"
she asked. Her voice was light and radiant.
"Where are we going?"
Simon beamed down at her. He could not relax his face. It was locked in a smile. He giddily wondered if he'd be able to speak normally.
"Well,"
he said, stretching out his jaw,
"how much do you hate the water?"
"Compared to what?" she asked, looking up at him from the corner of her eye. Simon gave her an exaggerated, toothy smile.
How about compared to a hyena?"
"I like hyenas," Aria said.
"No, I mean, my mom forces me to go with her to the shore sometimes to collect her junk. I'd say my tolerance is above average."
"Why?"
"No reason,"
Simon said,
"but that's good,"
and pulled her along a little quicker. He had been looking forward to the trip for weeks, ever since Aria had told him the story of her grandfather, the Builder. He had been killed by the shadows, crushed in a falling building. It had happened before she was born, but her mother still cried about it.
"I would love to have met him," she said. "He sounded like a good lion."
They had made tentative plans to go visit his tree in the graveyard, but that was for another day. Simon had never met his grandfather either, but from what he could gather, his pappy had been a big lion, like Simon, and had been some kind of explorer.
"It's hard to get anyone to talk about him," Simon said, as they neared the southern edge of the village, leaving the market noises behind them.
The wall towered over them a short distance to the west.
"Why do you think that is?"
Aria asked. She was surprised to find herself a little nervous about being led blindly towards the river.
"I don't think he and my dad got along,"
Simon said. He quickened his pace again, and Aria had to jog to keep up with his long legs.
"But my mom will talk about him sometimes."
They passed by the last hut before the shore, a quarter-mile-wide stretch of undeveloped land where few lions ever set foot. Simon stopped and leaned in close to Aria. She was panting lightly.
"And once," he whispered, "I followed her here."
He looked around suspiciously, then led them onwards. The southern river was about 1 mile wide. It flooded out a ways from time to time, but was generally very calm. Still, to Simon and the other lions, it was like an abyss. He pulled Aria out past the short grasses that bordered their village to where the soil became rocky. She instinctively pulled back a little, but Simon hardly felt it. He was overwhelmed with excitement.
"I've never shown anyone this," he said, his eyes gleaming.
Arya appreciated the look in his face and wanted to be excited, but the closer they got to the water, the more she wanted to turn and run away.
"Doesn't it make you nervous?" she asked.
Her voice cracked. Simon nodded vigorously.
"Oh yeah. My stomach feels like it might implode at any second, but the feeling always goes away once I get there."
Arya tried to smile. She doubted the feeling in her stomach was going anywhere, not unless she threw up. She and her mother never went out as far on the shore as Simon was pulling her. The rocks grew bigger the further south they progressed, until they needed their front paws to climb over them. As Simon let go of Arya to navigate the expanding pits and crags between the boulders, she stopped, and was barely able to restrain herself from bolting back the way they had come. Simon looked back at her from atop a tall rock, and the look on his face held her still.
"Come on," he whispered. "We're almost there. I can see it."
She didn't want to know where he was taking her anymore, but his eyes glimmered with a raw, innocent excitement that compelled her to follow, just a little further. Cautiously, she scaled the boulder, being especially careful not to give over to the horrid feeling in her stomach and trip. On the other side of the rock, the river itself slid into view only 30 yards in the distance. It was like a mirage, glimmering in the morning light through tears in both the lion's eyes. Simon was used to the sensation, but Arya found herself on the verge of panic. She wobbled and felt certain she was about to somehow fall in and disappear forever. Simon took her arm and pulled her close, wrapping his other long arm around her back.
"Come on," he whispered in her ear. "We're almost there."
Delicately, he led her along, pointing out where she should put her feet and trying to shield the river from her view with his paw.
"Here,"
he said finally, and pulled Arya down between two tall rocks into a small shelter at the edge of the water. As Arya stepped down behind Simon, the air cooled. She felt her nausea and overwhelming anxiety slowly melt away. The river was right in front of her, but something about the small cave made her feel almost at ease. Her stomach still hurt, but only as a distant nervousness. She wasn't sure if that was from the river or from being so close to Simon. He hunkered back into the shelter as far as he could, but they were still packed in pretty tightly.
"So, this is it," Simon said, and gestured around the space diminutively with his paws.
Arya was confused for a second. It just seemed like a cave of wet rocks, but then she saw. The walls of the shelter were painted with barely visible symbols, crude maps, and rough writing. Simon smiled wide.
"This place was my grandfather's. I'm sure of it."
Arya traced one of the strange, faded symbols with a claw. It was a simple drawing, but looked vaguely like an animal.
"What are these?" she asked.
Simon tried to shrug, but couldn't in the small space. He shifted onto his knees, trying to get more comfortable, but failed.
"Here," Arya said.
She took his arms and lightly guided him down, seating herself between his legs and leaned back onto his wide chest. She pulled his arms around her and casually continued examining the cave walls.
"They're really interesting," she said.
"Uh-huh," was all Simon could manage. They sat for a while in silence, listening to the sound of the river lapping against the rocks. Arya was surprised how little the sound bothered her. It was actually fairly soothing.
"This is nice," she whispered.
Simon experimented by hugging her a little more tightly. She purred softly. He couldn't resist, and craned his neck down a ways to sniff Arya's hair. It smelled like the sunshine.
"Your grandfather's drawings remind me of the other tribes," Arya said after a time.
Her words slowly leaked into Simon's consciousness, and he frowned.
"What other tribes?" he asked.
Arya managed to spin halfway around to look at him. Simon was instantly lost in her eyes.
"Are you serious?" she asked.
Simon shook his head, dumbfounded. Arya peered at him seriously.
"I've seen you in class, staring out the window all day. Do the teachers even give you grades?"
Simon was having an extremely hard time thinking, but he detected that Arya was only half joking.
"Sure," he said.
"Really?" she asked. "All A's?"
Simon nodded. "And do you study?"
Simon frowned and shook his head.
"Do you read anything we're assigned?"
Again, he shook his head, as if the question was ludicrous. Arya's expression became very serious.
"You can read, right?"
At this, Simon's trance broke, and he roughly tickled the small lioness. She shrieked, nearly piercing his eardrums, and fell into a hysterical laughter.
"Stop it," she cried. "I give up, I give up!"
Simon fell back against the stone and relaxed his hold on Arya. She caught her breath and pulled his arms back tightly around herself, snuggling into him. She purred.
"Well, delinquent, if you ever did your homework, you'd know that there used to be three other tribes."
"Wait, what?" Simon choked, sitting up a little straighter. Relax, Arya said. It's obviously not common knowledge, or at least it's not that important. It's literally ancient history. They're long gone. Simon's head spun for a second, and then he half remembered one of his teachers mentioning something along the lines of other ancient tribes. Oh, yeah, he murmured. Arya poked him in the ribs playfully. You'd know all this if it weren't for your scars, you big lug. She froze. Simon's arms slackened, only a tiny bit, but she noticed it. She quickly spun around. Oh, I'm sorry, she said. She reached up halfway to touch his face and hesitated, then let her arm fall to his chest. I didn't mean that, she said softly. Simon felt strangely numb. Mean what? He asked. Arya frowned, then forced herself to smile. Well, I mean, you have to notice it, right? The way everyone treats you differently? No, Simon said plainly. He noticed that the rocks behind him were very cold, while Arya's body was very warm, almost uncomfortably so. This time, Arya's hand made it all the way to Simon's face. She stroked his right cheek with the back of her paw, then reached around to touch his left, tracing the three deep purple grooves with her fingers. They're so rough, she whispered gently. Arya's touch on his scars made Simon's face tingle uncomfortably. He blinked, coming back to himself a little, and delicately took her paw and pulled it away. Sorry, he said. That feels a little weird. I'm sorry, she said, drawing back. Weird like bad? Do they hurt? Simon sighed heavily. No, weird like weird. It's the same when anyone touches them. Okay, Arya said, and swiveled back to lean against his chest again. She pulled his arms back around her, but it didn't feel the same. The nervous feeling had crept back into her stomach. Then, without thinking, she popped up onto her knees and turned around to fully face Simon. She took his paws between hers. All right, she jittered. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. I totally understand, and I wasn't going to ask, I swear, but... She paused. But what? Simon asked. He shook his head slightly, trying to clear the fuzzy numbness that seemed to be coating his senses like a spider's web. Arya bit her lip. Your scars, she said. Where did they come from? Oh, Simon said, dropping his gaze. Arya couldn't sit still. Seriously, you don't have to tell me, but it's crazy how many stories there are. Really? Simon asked, perplexed. Oh, yeah, Arya continued. Most everyone says that your father did it. By accident, of course. I don't know. Is that true? Simon didn't answer. I mean, that's just one of them. Do you hear them, too? There's the one about you falling in the river as a baby and fighting a giant fish, which doesn't make much sense. Oh, and the one about the evil magician? That's a good one. Her voice trailed off. Simon felt distant from the cold rocks, from the lioness next to him, from the world itself. His eyes were drawn to the paintings on the walls, and he suddenly recognized one of them. It's a monkey, he said quietly. What? Arya asked. Simon shook his head. I don't know. Arya blinked as if waking from a dream. What? She asked. You don't know what? These scars, Simon said, and pawed his face roughly. I don't know where they came from. Oh, come on. No, it's true. I mean, I was born with them. So I guess, really, I never got them. I've just always had them. His eyes dropped. Like my nose. Or my paws. He stretched his fingers out and flexed them. The funny thing was, that was how he thought about it. That was how he explained things to himself in times when things needed explaining. But then, the real key was to avoid those times. Arya punched Simon hard in the shoulder without warning. He jerked back and braced himself. You're messing with me, she scolded, with a tint of real anger seeping into her voice. Simon sat back and looked at Arya closely. He realized in that moment just how beautiful she was. That's not possible, she said. So what's the story? I'm not kidding, Simon said in earnest. There is no story. Arya looked away and frowned. There's always a story. Not this time, Simon said, and was surprised to find himself getting angry also, which almost never happened. All right, it's a sensitive subject, I understand. There's no story. I was born like this. Arya looked back at Simon. That's not possible, she said again. He just stared at her coolly. Simon, you're scaring me. The large lion shifted in place, but he didn't look away. Arya saw the sky reflected in his eyes through the entrance of the shelter. He was telling the truth. She shook her head hard and tried to wake up. We better go, she said at last. My brother will be angry. He hates helping my mom with the booth. She drew away from Simon very slightly, but he felt it. I'm sorry, he said quickly, but he wasn't sure why. He tried to come back to himself, but it was like digging a hole in the mud. His mind was a fog. Arya looked away. No, but seriously, she said, I have to get going. Simon tried to think, tried to understand, but a piece of him had shut down. He knew something was wrong, but he couldn't place it. Arya edged her way onto her feet, and he instinctively leapt up to stop her, cracking his head on the low stone. Oh, Arya said, looking back. Are you all right? Her voice was very calm and very distant. Simon rubbed his skull and took her shoulder. Wait, he said. What? Arya asked. Let's go. She shrugged his paw off and climbed up out of the shelter. The nausea and vertigo hit her hard in the face, but she managed to find her footing. Here, I'll help you, Simon said, bursting out of the cave. No, I'm fine, Arya said, and lifted a paw to stop him. Her claws were slightly bared. I want to try it on my own, thanks. She hobbled away over the rocks, but Simon found himself unable to follow. His legs had gone deaf. The river's lapping chorus to his right sounded like the black tentacle from his dream. He thought he might be sick. Arya passed out of sight behind a tall boulder, and Simon's legs sprung to life. He trailed after her, but couldn't quite catch up. Even as they exited the rocks onto the grassy section of the shore, Simon remained a step behind. He felt weak, and wanted more than anything to just lie down and go to sleep. "Can you please slow down?" he called after her, as they made their way through the village, and Arya finally stopped. She turned. "What?" she asked. "Why are you running away from me?" Arya looked offended. "I'm not," she said. "I'm going back to help my mother." "What did I say?" Simon asked. "Just tell me." He was on the verge of tears. She looked up at him, and her expression finally broke, softening into a tight frown. Simon rested his paws on her shoulders. "What is it?" he asked softly. "I can't do this," Arya whispered. "Why?" Simon asked. She looked him in the eyes and smiled thinly. "I'm afraid," she said, and she started to cry. Simon let his arms drop to his sides, and Arya turned away. She broke into a run and quickly disappeared around the next bend in the road. Simon stood stunned for a moment when another wave of confusion and anger swept over him. He fell onto his front paws and ran after her. But when he turned the corner in the road, he found himself back in the market, the bustling crowd, a maze of lions and lionesses. Simon stood up to his full height. Over the heads of the lions, he saw Arya duck back into her mother's booth. Crying, she fell into her mother's arms, and Simon saw the elder lioness look around, confused. He was about to start pushing his way through the crowd when Malik slid into view from behind the lionesses. Malik squeezed his sister's shoulders gently, then whipped around to scan the crowd. His gaze found Simon, and Simon felt a cold shiver trickle down his spine. Malik's eyes were cold, and they were very sharp.